Almost everything in our home has been given a name. The sofa is called Noah, the washing machine is Walter, the cactus plant is Milligan, the peace lily is Lily. I didn't say the names were complex. Our car is Florence, the AirPods are Pinky and Perky, the media server is Roger, and you get the point. This extends to mostly unwanted visitors to our home too. Last year, we had semi-frequent visits from Monty, a very cute but somewhat annoying field mouse. Our home, as you may have guessed, is not a field, and it's ours, not Monty's. We made several attempts at safely capturing Monty. I first constructed a completely impenetrable fort around the kitchen, the last place we saw him. The aim was to isolate him so we could then capture him and take him somewhere safe, and importantly, not our house. It turns out I am not an engineer of great forts. Monty escaped. Within hours. The following day, we brought and deployed several humane mousetraps. We were told that mice like peanut butter, so we bought some of that too. Chunky and smooth varieties. Several days later, we had a couple of run-ins with Monty, who was very much not in a trap. Monty didn't like peanut butter. We then bought some less than humane traps. After learning the hard and painful way how to set the traps, I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, they were set up in a few places. Half hoping not to hear the likely problematic for Monty snap, we left them for a few days. No snap, but also no Monty. Monty, the escapologist mouse with an aversion to peanut butter, was a smart mouse. Earlier this week, probably about 11 months after our last encounter, we saw Monty again. Except it wasn't Monty. This new mouse was a different colour, just as cute, but significantly faster. All of the above was a setup to the name I've given to the new mouse. It's a joke, you see. One I was very proud of, but now that I've just written all this down, I realise, isn't that funny? The new mouse, one who I hope doesn't return, is called Montezuma. He's faster. More zoomy than Monty. Montezuma? I'm so sorry. Montezuma doesn't like peanut butter either. Health authorities in BC updated our vaccine rollout this week. It has made two major changes. First, a list of folks in certain key professions, including K-12 teachers, grocery store workers, first responders, and others, will be prioritised in April, regardless of their age. On a personal note, I was thrilled to hear this, as I have several friends who are in one of these professions, and I couldn't be happier for them. The second thing the PHA did was move everyone's vaccine schedule up by a month. It's now quite possible that I will have my first shot in May or June, meaning there's a really good chance I'll be fully vaccinated by the end of the summer. I really hope that plays out. I can't wait to go to a restaurant or watch football in a bar with my friends or a whole manner of other things that I've either been unable due to public health orders or felt too uncomfortable to do for more than a year now. We also continue to have a high number of cases, a large number of people in hospital and critical care, an increasing amount of variants of concern, and a suboptimal set of trend lines for these things. It's a confusing time. In a Zoom meeting that was set up by UBC's Equity and Inclusion Office as a way for UBC's community to come together in reflection about anti-Asian racism and violence, I heard a phrase that hit me like a ton of bricks. Silence is safety. The person who shared this explained that the only way they could feel some modicum of safety was to stay silent. It wasn't the only thing that caused me to cry in that meeting. Several experiences that were shared by the incredibly strong women were truly harrowing. But that one phrase stuck with me. People who look like me simply can't comprehend these experiences. I'm not sure we have the ability to understand them, meaning we truly can't, honestly, empathise either. But we can listen, actually listen. We can and should believe and act upon what we're hearing. Those actions, in order to be and act as an ally, are multifaceted. We need to call out racism as racism when we see it. We need to continue to listen to and believe the lived experiences that were told. We need to have the hard conversations with our friends and family when we hear or see racism. They're only hard conversations because we haven't normalized having them and calling out racism, and a lot more beyond. As white people, it's on us, it can only be on us, to stop racism perpetuated by white people. And we must